Hi, my name is Dr. Mark Allen Derry, and I'm an infectious diseases specialist in New Orleans. Just as a reminder that COVID-19 and the human immunodeficiency virus do share the same risk factors.
Hi, my name is Doc Griggs, and I'm a community medicine doctor and health literacy expert. This is the Noise Filter Podcast, where an infectious diseases physician,
that's me, and a health literacy and communications expert,
that's me, talk about what you need to know about COVID-19.
You can find more information about this show and our other daily live updates and Q&A show at noisefiltershow.com.
So let's get started.
All right, welcome to Noise Filter. This is Dr. Mark Allen Derry. Doc Griggs is not able to be with us today, so let's go ahead and get started. The Philippines takes a brand agnostic approach to vaccine. Now, according to the NPR, the Philippines has decided to go brand agnostic with its COVID vaccines, meaning residents will not know what brand of the COVID vaccine they're getting. This is to avoid preference in vaccine branding gumming up the works in a slow-moving vaccine rollout. Now, a majority of the doses the nation has acquired are China's Sinovac vaccine with an efficacy rate of about 67%. The nation has a smaller supply of the Pfizer vaccine with only about 200,000 doses. And of course, you're going to have to take that in half, which is going to get you to about 100,000 total vaccinated folks. And by comparison, there's a 95% efficacy. So I can see why people would want to go with the mRNA vaccines. Now, in mid-May, residents lined up at a Manila hotel as early as 2 a.m. in hopes of getting a dose of the Pfizer vaccine. Now, a general culture of vaccine hesitancy and distrust in the government may be contributing to some residents' desire to wait out a higher efficacy. The nation is one of the more vaccine hesitant in the world. One survey found that 60% of Filipinos did not want to get the vaccine. This hesitancy stems from a number of issues, namely misinformation and poor public health messaging from the government. Now, one unique reason Filipino residents may be hesitant to get the vaccine is because of a fairly recent vaccine scandal. In 2016, the nation approved the use of a dengue vaccine that put some children at risk for a condition called plasma leakage syndrome. Today, the slow-moving COVID vaccine process has led to dismal vaccination rates. Less than 1% of the population has been fully vaccinated. And according to NPR, the nation hopes that preventing residents from favoring one dose over the other will help to speed this up. Financial issues for long COVID survivors in the UK. Now, while some people contract the coronavirus and recover relatively unscathed, there are others that suffer sometimes debilitating symptoms of the virus long after they test negative. They are referred to as having long COVID. According to the BBC, more than 1 million people in the UK are thought to have long COVID, including over 120,000 healthcare workers. Even though their government says it is committed to supporting people through the pandemic, key workers who believe they caught long COVID through their jobs are becoming increasingly worried about what financial support is available to them if they cannot return to work. Now, while staff at the National Health Services with long COVID receive full pay for a year in England and Wales, even longer in Scotland and Northern Ireland, many in the private sector only get 28 weeks statutory sick pay. Once those 28 weeks are up, those workers are susceptible to getting fired. Patients are advocating for long COVID to be classified as an occupational disease, which would allow sufferers to be awarded a benefit according to their degree of disability. Unfortunately, that decision has to be made by the government and could take up to a year because of lack of research and data and being able to prove someone got COVID through their work. A UK government spokesperson said, "This government is committed to supporting people throughout the pandemic and provides a strong financial safety net for those in need. One can only hope their commitment remains strong as time marches on." And then also, let's look home and recognize that what they have in the UK is far, far greater than what we have here in the US. And so many kudos to those in Europe who are progressive enough to recognize that something like long COVID should be considered a disability and is paid as such. We tip our hat to them. discrimination amongst Hong Kong domestic workers. Now, the pandemic has highlighted and exposed the negative experiences of many migrants and low-wage workers that contribute to local economies while their labor is often exploited. About 10% of the working population in Hong Kong are migrant domestic workers, which includes cooks, caretakers, and cleaners. Before the pandemic, these populations often faced discrimination. They were off only one day a week, legally required to live in their employer's homes, and had a minimum wage of near $600 a month, and had no legal limits on the number of hours they could work. The pathway to permanent residency was difficult as well. Now, with COVID-19, the government is imposing more restrictions, citing public health. These workers are not allowed to leave their employers' homes on their day off, even though they were able to do so on the days that they work. They are often harassed by police and other citizens and are accused of breaking social distancing rules, despite the fact that many outbreaks are centered around higher income groups. After countless backlash from migrant worker groups, a testing and vaccination requirement was implemented. Another issue that arose was that workers would need to be vaccinated in order to renew their visas, or they would need to leave Hong Kong. Vaccine hesitancy is widespread amongst this group, and many saw this as a racist attempt to get rid of migrant workers. Fortunately, officials from the Philippines and Indonesia, where most migrant labor comes from, opposed this, leading to the rules withdrawal. The legal resources to fight discrimination are limited, and though Hong Kong has anti-discrimination laws, no racial discrimination case has been fought in court. This pandemic has shed light on many issues for domestic workers, but many still have no faith in their government to bring about needed reform. Biden's pledge for international vaccine distribution. After debate, the Biden administration has agreed to send 100 million doses of the federally authorized coronavirus vaccines to countries overseas in June. And this is in addition to 60 million AstraZeneca vaccines pending approval. Now, the goal is to increase vaccine supply and expand manufacturing capacity. Now, this came after an announcement from the Director General of the World Health Organization about the duty of high vaccinated countries to contribute more to ending the global pandemic. Now, there cannot be this disconnect. If one country is still suffering, the whole world is at risk. Unlike some other countries reported on in the recent New York Times article, these donations will not be used unethically as an instrument of diplomacy. The United States is not holding the health of many vulnerable people over their heads, and it expects nothing in return. This is a step in the right direction. Many global health experts are calling this crossing the threshold into direct donations and part of the way to end the vaccine apartheid, as it was called by an HIV activist. Now, though this is an improvement, many international health agencies believe that there needs to be more done. Another HIV activist described this plan as putting a Band-Aid on a machete wound. The WHO is also calling for vaccine developers and manufacturers to expedite the delivery of hundreds of millions of doses to COVAX, an initiative dedicated to vaccine equity. There needs to be promotion to scale up production worldwide and not just donations. President Biden has pledged billions to the international effort and is supporting waiving intellectual property protections for the development of the vaccine. Just as a reminder that COVID-19 and the human immunodeficiency virus do share the same risk factors. Doc Griggs?
Thanks for listening to the Noise Filter Daily Podcast. Dr. Derry and I have a daily show at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, where we go into more detail on stories and answer your questions about COVID-19.
You can find Doc Griggs at DocGriggs1 on social media, and you can find me at Dr. Mark Allen Derry or at DRDERY. You can follow us at Noise Filter on Instagram, Noise Filter NOLA on Twitter, and for more information about us and the show, you can go to NoiseFilterShow.com. Hey, Doc Griggs, any last words?
Remember, get checked, get fit, get moving. And remember to get some rest to boost your immune system. And Doc?
Protect yourself and others by staying home, and please wear masks when you go outside. Remember, health is a human right.